All right, so get ready to dive into some fascinating economic research with me today. We're tackling Turkish labor, but don't worry, this is way more interesting than it might sound. We're actually looking at a study that flips the script on how we usually think about unemployment.
It really throws a wrench into some of those classic economic theories, those things we often just assume are true everywhere.
Yeah, those assumptions we don't even realize we're making. So, you're the expert here to guide us. We've got this paper. It's called A Note on the Intertemporal Labor Dynamics in Turkey, and it focuses on 2003 to 2012. Give me the need to know. What's got everyone talking about this research?
Okay, so picture a typical recession, right? People lose their jobs, unemployment goes up, and we usually assume a bunch of those folks just get discouraged. They give up on job hunting altogether. They become discouraged workers.
Right, it's like they're so bummed out they stop looking for work entirely. They're not employed, but they're not officially unemployed either. They're just out of the picture.
Exactly. But this study found that in Turkey, at least during that specific time period, something different was happening.
Okay, now you've got my attention. Tell me more. What did they find?
Well, instead of that one-way street from unemployment to discouragement, they saw way more movement back and forth between being employed, unemployed, and inactive. It was happening way more than traditional economic models would predict.
So almost like a revolving door, people are constantly popping in and out of the workforce. But why? Why is this happening in Turkey if other places seem to follow that more traditional discouraged worker path?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? This study doesn't give us every single answer, but it points to some clues. One thing that jumps out is that Turkey was going through massive economic change during this period.
Makes sense. If you know things are unpredictable, you might be more willing to jump between jobs or even in and out of the workforce entirely just to see what's out there, right?
That's one way to think about it. The other thing this research points to is how prevalent informal employment was in Turkey at that time. You know, those temporary gigs or contract-based jobs, not the super stable stuff.
And that kind of work tends to be a lot less secure, right?
Exactly. And if you're already used to that kind of uncertainty, maybe leaving a job doesn't feel like such a huge life-changing thing. It's just part of the game.
Interesting. So it's less about feeling discouraged and more about adapting, being flexible, constantly weighing your options, seeing what's out there. That's a really different way to look at it. But hold on, before we go any further, didn't the researchers also look at how all this played out differently for men versus women?
They did. And those findings are pretty eye-opening. We should definitely dig into those.
Okay, so we're talking about how this whole discouraged worker idea might not really apply in Turkey, at least not during that period between 2003 and 2012. Instead, it's like people were constantly shifting between jobs or even in and out of the workforce altogether. And now you're saying the researchers found some interesting differences between how men and women were navigating all of this.
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating. One of the most striking things they found is that women were way more likely to be inactive in the labor market. Mm-hmm. Like, consistently higher rates of inactivity for women compared to men throughout that whole decade they looked at.
That makes you wonder what's going on beneath the surface there. It's not like men and women are facing completely different economies, right? They're in the same country at the same time.
Exactly. It really highlights how individual choices are only one piece of the puzzle. Mm. We can't ignore those broader societal factors that might be influencing these gender differences.
Okay, so walk me through that. What kind of factors are we talking about?
Well, you have to consider cultural norms and expectations, right?
Mm-hmm.
In many societies, there's still this strong expectation that women will take on most of the childcare and family caregiving responsibilities.
Right, and those responsibilities often clash with traditional work schedules and demands. It's tough to make it all work.
Exactly. So even if a woman wants to work, she might struggle to find a job that allows her to balance those family responsibilities. And that's where things like access to affordable childcare become so important.
Absolutely. Without reliable and affordable childcare, participating in the workforce, especially in a job without much flexibility, becomes incredibly difficult.
Exactly. And it goes beyond just childcare, right? Think about parental leave policies, access to quality education and healthcare, even just societal attitudes towards working mothers. These factors can create these invisible barriers that make it harder for women to enter or stay in the workforce.
It's like we're looking at this whole picture of the labor market, and we realize that men and women are navigating it on very different playing fields. But, you know, this study also looked at the 2008 financial crisis, didn't it? Did they find any gender differences in how that economic shock played out?
They did. And it might surprise you. While men were more likely to be employed overall, they also saw a much bigger jump in unemployment during the crisis.
Wait, really? So even though women were more likely to be out of the workforce to begin with, they were actually less impacted by the recession when it came to job losses.
Exactly. It might seem counterintuitive, but it really highlights how important it is to look beyond those big overall numbers. It's not just about the overall unemployment rate, it's about understanding the different ways that men and women are impacted by these economic shifts.
Such a good point. It makes you wonder if there were differences in the types of jobs men and women were concentrated in at the time.
Definitely a factor. The researchers suggest that as a possible explanation. For example, if you had more men in sectors like construction or manufacturing, which tend to be hit harder during economic downturns, that could explain why they saw a sharper increase in unemployment during the crisis.
So it's not just about gender, it's about the intersection of gender and industry and how those factors combine to shape a person's experience in the labor market. This is also fascinating. It really makes you rethink those simple explanations we often hear for complex economic trends. But before we go too far down that rabbit hole, I want to circle back to this whole idea of those rapid transitions between employment states. We talked about the economic and social factors that might be driving this, but what about the psychological impact? How does this constant state of flux affect people's well-being?
That's a really interesting question, and one that the study doesn't dive into too deeply, to be honest, but it's definitely a critical area for more research. After all, we know that job security is a major factor in well-being, both for individuals and for families.
For sure. And when you're constantly worried about whether you'll have a job next month or whether you'll have to move back in with your parents, that can really take a toll on your mental and emotional health.
Absolutely, and it can impact your relationships, your sense of identity, even your overall outlook on life.
It's like this constant uncertainty creates this ripple effect that goes way beyond just the workplace.
Precisely. And it's not just about the downsides, right? There's also the potential for this type of labor market flexibility to be empowering for some people.
Oh, that's an interesting thought. Like, if you thrive on change and variety, maybe this kind of dynamic environment is a good fit for you.
Exactly. For some people, it might offer a sense of freedom and autonomy that they wouldn't find in a more traditional work setting.
So it's not a one-size-fits-all situation. What might be stressful for one person might be exciting for another.
Right. And I think that's important to keep in mind as we try to understand these evolving labor market trends. There's no easy answer, no single policy solution that will work for everyone. We need to be thinking about how to create a more inclusive and equitable system that supports people's different needs and goals.
Well said. We've covered a lot of ground here, but we're not done yet. After the break, we'll unpack some of the study's more technical details and explore what these findings might mean for other countries. All right, we're back. And we've been on quite a journey through the ins and outs of the Turkish labor market. We've talked about how that classic discouraged worker theory might not really hold up there, how people were constantly switching between jobs and even moving in and out of the workforce altogether. And of course, we dug into those fascinating differences between how men and women experienced all of this. But before we wrap up, I want to make sure we've really gotten everything we can out of this research.
Always good to make sure we haven't missed any of those key takeaways.
Exactly. And one thing that struck me is how the researchers actually went about crunching these numbers. It's not like they just had these vague ideas about the Turkish labor market. They were working with some pretty solid data, right?
Absolutely. That's one of the things that makes this study so interesting. They used real data on actual Turkish workers covering that whole period from 2003 to 2012. So we're not talking about theories here, we're talking about real people and how they actually behaved, especially during a time when the economy was going up and down.
Okay, so paint a picture for me. What kind of data did they use? Were they following individual workers around, like peeking into their diaries?
Not quite. They use what's called panel data, which basically tracks a large group of individuals over an extended period. So in this case, it allowed them to see who was employed, who was unemployed, who was out of the workforce entirely, and how those situations changed from year to year.
Ah, so they could track those transitions, those jumps between being employed, unemployed, and inactive, the ones we've been talking about.
Exactly. And they didn't stop at just the raw numbers. They used some pretty sophisticated statistical methods to really figure out what was driving those transitions. Like they could actually estimate the probability of, let's say, someone who was unemployed 1 year, whether they would be employed, unemployed again, or inactive the next year. And they did that for all the different possible transitions.
Wow, that's impressive. It's pretty cool that they could get down to that level of detail. Like, we're zooming in on these individual journeys within the bigger picture of the labor market.
Precisely. And that detail is exactly why they were able to challenge those traditional ideas about the discouraged worker effect. They could see that in Turkey, at least, people weren't just moving in one direction, from unemployment to discouragement. They were moving back and forth, in and out, way more than those old models could ever explain.
Right, like those old models were just looking at a single snapshot, frozen in time, while this study is like watching a movie showing how those individual paths can twist and turn.
I like that analogy. And it gets to the heart of why this research is so important. It's not just about understanding what was going on in Turkey. It's about getting us to rethink how we study and interpret labor markets everywhere.
So it's given us this whole new lens to view these really complex systems, one that helps us see all those little details and individual stories that we might have missed before.
Exactly. And that's incredibly valuable because it can ultimately help us design better policies that actually work, support workers in a way that makes sense, and maybe even create a fairer and more resilient economy for everyone.
Now that's something I think we can all get behind. Well, this has been a fascinating deep dive. It's certainly given me a lot to think about. Any final words of wisdom for our listeners before we let them go ponder the mysteries of the labor market on their own?
You know, I think the biggest takeaway here is that there's always more to learn. We should never be afraid to question those assumptions we make, dig into the data, and look for new explanations. The world's full of surprises, and sometimes those unexpected discoveries are the ones that really change the game.
Couldn't agree more. So to everyone listening out there, next time you hear someone trying to give you a simple explanation for something as complex as the economy, be skeptical. Remember those Turkish workers, remember all that moving between jobs and in and out of the workforce, and remember there's always more to the story than what we see on the surface. That's it for this deep dive. Thanks for joining us.